Hi, I'm Sharon Sneer. You're listening to Grief's Gift, a podcast that explores stories of loss and grief, and how and where to find within these painful times some of life's most beautiful gifts. We all have the freedom to make choices out of the losses we experience. Courageous, creative, collaborative, and conscious choices that so often become the gifts we hold most dear. So welcome to the conversations, meditations, and connections that are grief's gift. Hello and welcome. I'm Sharon Sneer, and this is Grief's Gift. Grief's Gift is about the choices we make following loss and grief. How do these events inform and affect our lives in the long run? How can grief offer us a deeper understanding of who we are and what we're capable of achieving? So in this podcast, we are going to acknowledge the stories and uncover the gifts born out of grief and loss that have not only changed our lives, but enriched them in ways we could never have imagined. And today I'd like to introduce Barry Eaton. Barry Eaton is the author of 4 books. But before I tell you about those books, let me tell you a little bit about him. Barry has wide international experience in all areas of the media and entertainment industries. He is a highly experienced radio and TV presenter, having spent many years with the Australian Broadcasting Corporation and various commercial radio and television stations. His profile embraces news and sports, anchoring lifestyle shows, current affairs, talkback radio, and in what feels like an earlier incarnation, he was even a DJ. His first book was Afterlife, Uncovering the Secrets of Life and Death, Tracing the Journey of the Spirit Between Incarnations. The next book was called No Goodbyes, and it's following on from Afterlife, which was released in Australia and New Zealand by Allen and Unwin. The third book was called The Joy of Living, Postponing the Afterlife, and was co-written with his partner, Anne Morgenoff, and tells how he healed from cancer by combining holistic and mainstream medical practices. Barry's fourth book, which is so exciting to read, is called Past Lives Unveiled, Discovering How Consciousness Moves Between Lives. And although I want to talk about in depth about every book, we won't have time, but we will have at least half an hour to enjoy this remarkable man. So welcome, Barry.
Okay, sure. I'm impressed myself. That's a wonderful lead-in. Thank you very much for that.
You should be impressed. It's about an amazing person called Barry Eaton.
Yeah, I must have written that myself.
Well, there is so much in there that I want to talk about. So where to begin? I invited you to this podcast, which is relatively new, because of some of my own experiences in my husband dying 3 years ago and finding that even in 3 years, I have grown and strengthened myself in so many unexpected ways. So someone like you that has been close to death through your own physical illness and through all of your research and studying, you have so much to share.
Yeah, well, yeah, thanks. You're right. And that's what life is, though, isn't it? We learn, we grow, we evolve, hopefully. Our spirit, our soul evolves, and that's what we are here on Earth for. And that, you talked about my mainstream background, but about 30 years ago, I got called in another direction as well, and I studied astrology and then opened up my psychic abilities and healing abilities and then medium abilities and all sorts of things. So I do all of that now and combine it with my other work in communication. So it all comes to together very, very nicely. But it's such an incredible journey when we all look at the kind of grief that we all have. And I certainly have suffered it. I've suffered it over loss of a partner, and that was the catalyst for writing my first book, Afterlife, Uncovering the Secrets of Life After Death. Mm-hmm. And When I look at loss, when I look at grief, though, Sharon, there's so many different kinds of grief. We automatically assume that grief is going to be losing somebody. We never do lose anybody because we know where they go, or I know where they go anyway.
Right.
It's only the body that dies, you know. We can go into that a bit if you like. But the thing is, there are so many different kinds of loss that we suffer, and so many people have varying kinds of grief. You know, it can be divorce, separation, loss of a relationship, giving up something that mattered, like a career, unemployment, retirement, retrenching, all sorts of things like that can create grief. And so we all go through this, and it depends on our own particular personal circumstances and maybe what we've come here to learn in life and experience in life this time around, so that we can A, deal with karma, B, develop as a soul, and then get ourselves ready for whatever it is the next stage of our life, because this is only one stage. And as I wrote in my book, Afterlife, I compare it basically with an actor on stage. And an actor gets given a part, learns the part, goes to rehearsals, develops, then stands up on stage or film or TV or whatever, and then gives that performance. Then at the end of it, they take the clothes off, take the character away, disappear back to where they came from, and wait for the next job. Now, that's basically what life is all about, waiting for the next job in between lives. And in between lives, we practice. We go out and we do all sorts of things, which I've written about in my book, Afterlife. But to build up to that, at the end of each life, we go through so many, many experiences as the actor on the stage, the actor in our body. And grief is just a very, very important part, because I think every single person on the planet has had some kind of grief in their time. So I think we need to work on the fact that grief is such a widespread emotion.
Indeed. It's integral in every aspect of life, isn't it?
Definitely. Definitely. And sometimes we really need that grief. We may not think so. I mean, it could be the loss of a pet, or the loss of a job, as I said, the relationship, whatever. And we needed to make that next step. Even though we didn't know it, our soul knew it, and we've been pushed in that direction, particularly when you're looking at relationships that break up, marriages break up, all sorts of things. And then we wait for something that happens. And in that time in between, quite often there'll be grief. Oh, why did I do this? And I'm really sorry it all broke up. Is it my fault? I'm going to be lonely. All that sort of thing. So that's only one area of grief. But what do we learn from that? And I think that's the whole thing of any kind of grief. What do we learn? How do we grow? That, to me, is the most important thing.
So one of the things that I think about when you say that is, how do we grow? Because not everybody carries the same belief system and understanding as you or I. So for those that don't understand the ongoing consciousness that eliminates death but allows us to go through various transitions throughout our consciousness, how do people learn how to move forward with the losses and the griefs that they experience? Some people I know hold on to grief, whether it's the loss of a person, a job, a dream, a relationship, as proof of having put so much into it. What do you say to those people?
Well, that kind of grief is very much akin to depression, and it's been compared to depression. And my research into depression basically is being controlled, or being holding on to the past in some way, or allowing the past to control your life in some way and in some degree. But grief itself is something that we all, as I said before, we all need to go through to develop as a person. Now, for instance, the biggest grief that I had was when my partner Judy, we'd only been together 4 years in the 90s, and we had a tremendous soul connection. And she passed at the age of only just short of 52 years of age. And I was absolutely grief-stricken, as the saying goes. Absolutely. Yeah. 4 years, it just wasn't enough, obviously. And I was incredibly shattered, really. But we had started a program that I call Celestial Power in those days, and it morphed into another radio show that I do called Radio Out There. And Judy then came through from a medium that I worked with on the show once, and she came to me and said, Judy has come through. Do you want to connect with her? And I said, yeah, of course I do. So this wonderful lady put us in touch with each other, and that was the beginning, really, of my development as a medium. And I was able to learn how to communicate with Judy. Judy, on the other side, then, because she identified us, I didn't. She identified us as twin flames, which, in other words, can be described as the same soul split in two or split in various parts.
Yes, yes.
And it was a very, very close, tremendous relationship. So Judy came back through this wonderful medium and said to me that you've got to write a book. And I kept on getting these messages all the time, got to write a book, got to write a book, got to write a book. And even a friend of mine, I was interviewing him, and he was in Canada, a medium, and he said, hey, Barry, he said, I got this Judy coming through from the other side. Do you know a Judy? I said, yeah, I do. He said, well, she keeps on saying to me, yeah, Barry, when are you going to write that book?
No push, huh? No pressure.
No push. No, just being nagged from the other side. So I opened up. I wrote the book. It was quite several stages of getting it there. I'd never written a book before. But it was the most cathartic thing I'd ever done. It was a healing process for me, and it started me in a whole new direction in life. So that parting of the ways, shall we say, temporary though it may be, and who knows how long, 20, 30 years, who knows? It's more than 20 years now. So it doesn't really matter, because there's no such thing as time once we leave this planet. Time is a third-dimensional reality. So once we start opening ourselves up, or being given the opportunity to grow, and we all get an opportunity, going back to your question, not everybody is really interested in huge spiritual development, but we are all on a spiritual path, whether we know it or not, because that's why we're here. So it's going to happen in one way or another, or to what degree will depend on our development as a human being. But everybody is different. Every story is different. We're all the stars of our own little movie. And as such, the grief that we suffer, or experience, I should say, rather than suffer, is pertinent to us and nobody else. Even though it might be part of a family thing, the grief that you can feel over the death of a loved one, a parent or whatever, can be very different to that of a sibling or,
Absolutely.
Whatever. So grief is unique. Grief is attached to the right person at the right time. Now, in my book, No Goodbyes, I remembered this when you asked me to have a chat to you on the program, and I'm going to quote you from this, because No Goodbyes was the sequel to Afterlife, and I got a lot of help from the other side in writing this. And the quote that I've got here, I'll just read you this if you don't mind.
Please.
Describing the two of us as twin flames, Judy once again mentioned our relationship on Earth was predestined, defining it as diverging, converging, and then diverging again. I can only suppose she was referring to our entire life story, as we both reincarnated just 3 years apart in the same city, only coming together again in the last 4 years of her life. Parting after such a short time together was very distressing for both of us. But Judy says, and this is the big bit, this is what the pain of grief is all about. Grief takes us through emotions that we would otherwise not experience or even recognize. She explained how the emotions and pain that we suffer in grief will eventually go on to become part of our life review in spirit. And she described it as a processed cleansing, similar to the pre-operation procedure that's carried out in hospital before we go into surgery. So mm-hmm. there we are. It's part of our
Such
process.
Such a beautiful, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. That's why I had to quote that one there in full, because it is part of preparing us. And for those people who are not sure about the life review, that means that when we do pass over, we leave the body. We don't die. Only the body dies. Our soul, which is pure energy, and which pure energy can't be destroyed, of course. It can it can only be transmuted. So the energy goes back to its source. Call it heaven, paradise, the afterlife, you know, whatever label you want to put on it. Yeah. But when we go back there, we meet up with a bunch of people called the elders, and we go through a life review. It's sort of like at the end of a sports game, whether it's football or cricket or basketball or netball or whatever. The coach says, okay, guys, come on, stand around here. We're going to have a look and see what we did right and what we did wrong and what we're going to do for our next match. That's what a life review is, and we go through all of that. So preparing ourselves for our life review, this is an integral part, according to what Judy was saying. And to me, that makes a lot of sense, Sharon.
Yeah, definitely. It does make a lot of sense. And I think that that life review allows us, although we don't always have the same freedom of choice after physical life as we had here, but allows us to move on to the next evolutionary track that we are intended or intend to go to when we're non-physical beings again for that period of time.
Well, that's right, because we work with our guides who are working with us in this lifetime as well. But then when we go back, our guides and our elders are preparing us, looking back on what we did, just like that football or netball coach, looking back on the life, seeing what we did wrong, and what we can do for our next match or our next lifetime.
Yeah, for me it's like opportunities taken and opportunities missed, but there's no judgment in that whatsoever.
None at all. None at all. And that's where we've got to get away from some of this religious stuff that goes on. You will be judged, and if you are found guilty, you will go to hell forever, you know, all that rubbish. There is no such place as hell. There are various levels of the afterlife from my experience and my knowledge.
That's right. Hi, this is Sharon Sneer, and you're listening to Grief's Gift. If you resonate with what you're hearing, please don't forget to let your friends and family know. And if you have your own experience that you would like to share, please contact me on www.sharonsneer.com or on my email, sharon@sharonsneer.com. Thank you so much for listening, and now back to Grief's Gift.
So grief is so important, and we all have to go through it, don't we?
We do. We all have to go through it. What I've become interested in is when you go through, say, a loss like mine after 40 years with the same person and raising a family of five children and grandchildren, when you go through that situation, one never imagines that you will blossom at some point.
Yes.
And I guess that's what drew me to be talking about this, not that I want to preempt anyone's grief journey, but I do want to suggest that the possibility of dramatic growth and fulfillment is possible if you go through grief in a full and healthy way.
And that's it, full and healthy. That's the whole thing. And not just sort of get down in the dumps and get depressed and stay depressed. So there are things, but everybody's going to grieve, and there's no length of time. There's not 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. It's an individual thing from what I've discovered.
And do you think there's a way of grieving that is without suffering? Because you mentioned that earlier that grief doesn't need to be an aspect of suffering.
Well, once again, that's part of the individual journey, isn't it? Some people may need to go through some kind of suffering. Who's to say? And we all suffer in various ways, and there are various degrees of suffering. Suffering can be an emotional feeling. It can be loneliness. It can be anger. It can be so many different things. When you look at it, shock, guilt, blame, denial, all of these things are there to be experienced. And when you look at it and you start working out your karma as well, maybe you needed to discover that through that sense of loss and through that grief, the effects of denial or anger or guilt. And maybe that was the big, big lesson that you came back to learn in this particular lifetime.
Exactly. Yes, I've been doing past life regression healings for many, many years and have often found that those emotions interrupt the flow of life now. Once you can untangle some of the stories that happened for you in a past life, those emotions dissipate and dissolve.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, in my own past life research, which I've done not only for my book Past Lives Unveiled, but for various other research, I was a soldier in many lives and did all sorts of terrible things. I was a nasty Viking who probably raped and pillaged and did all sorts of shocking things. But I went through all of those. What I learned and what how I graduated, I'm not sure. But I'm sure I created a lot of grief in the violence. As you know, any kind of wartime activities would do. So yeah. Then maybe I needed that karma in this lifetime, that huge grief with what I thought at first was the loss of Judy. It wasn't, because she's still there. She's just not there physically.
Yeah.
But that can be part of my karma. I'm just giving that as an example, and I'm sure there are many, many different examples that we can all look at in our lives if we start to do a lot of analysis. But do we need to go into that deep analysis? That's the big question.
Yeah, look, I'm thinking of you and Judy, and I'm wondering, was it the connection with her through the medium that began to transform your life? And was that, do you think, the purpose of your four-year meeting the other aspect of your soul? Was that what you see as the reason you met?
That's a very good question. And looking back on it, it wasn't the transformation. It was the culmination of a transformation, because I'd gone through a divorce in 1991. I met Judy in 1993, and I'd got a few little warnings because of I was doing automatic writing at that particular stage, having graduated from astrology, and I was being told there was a special person coming into my life, etc. Just sort of give me a little warning, you know, she's on the way. And when Judy and I met, yes, it was. It was obviously a tremendous soul connection, and we were only obviously destined to live those 4 years together in this lifetime, but we'd had several other lifetimes together. So coming together, maybe it completed a sequence of lifetimes, because I don't think she's coming back. I think this was her final lifetime, and as a twin soul, I would hope that it's mine as well.
From what I've heard, and I was also told that Oren, my husband, was my twin soul, and it's very rare for twin souls to spend lifetimes together for very long, so it was a really unusual situation. But you will always, I understand, be twin souls regardless of whether you incarnate again here or somewhere else.
Yes, well, that's the whole thing, or whether you continue the next stage of your soul development in the world of spirit or just what it is, who knows? That's for the future. That's not to worry about at this particular stage. But, you know, getting back to the grief side of things, when I went through that grief, that was the final aspect of the transformation. That original question you asked me, the transformation of my life started when I met her. It had started beforehand when I got divorced. So it was a transformational process that took quite a few years. And some transformation processes happen very quickly. As an astrologer, I can tell you, once Pluto gets in there, the Lord of the Underworld, then it can be very sudden. But others, takes a lot of time. And that, once again, as I said before, depends on the individual.
Exactly. So would you say that in many cases, loss is not an ending, but often a beginning?
Yes, and I think loss is a word that we need to lose, if you'll pardon the pun there, because we don't lose anybody.
No, but we do lose jobs, we do lose opportunities, we do lose things that we grieve.
Yes, we do lose jobs, we do lose things, and I've lost a few in my time. But the thing is, another door opens a little bit further down the track, and I think, oh, thank God I got fired from that job.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, and I'll use the word again, because I agree that if a loved one dies, then they are not lost, because we're not that careless to lose those things that we love so much. But we do lose opportunities, and those are things that we grieve. And sometimes, as you've just said, to miss or lose an opportunity inevitably is the beginning of something we don't yet know.
Exactly, exactly. And that's why we apply for a job, we apply for something, we don't get it, we have this grief, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? Paying the bills problem, et cetera, et cetera. Then all of a sudden, a couple of months down the road, another door opens and the opportunity, you think, oh, my God, if I had have taken that other job, I would never, ever have been here for this one. So I believe in destiny, to the point of view that certain things are predestined, and it's our role after that. That's where we have the choice, and that's what we do with our freedom of choice. It's how we cope with it. Not everything is totally predestined, but certain events are.
When I studied with Denise Lynn, I did. And she said that she believes in destiny and she believes in free will, and neither discount the other. And I think that's what you're saying, that both can coincide and coexist happily together.
Oh, definitely. I've found that through experience and through many of the readings that I've done, because I still do astrology charts and various things for people, and helping them understand that. Yes, exactly the point you just made.
Perfect. Yes, yes, beautiful. So then I would go one step further and ask you, do you then believe that grief and joy can coexist together?
At the time, we don't know it, but yes, it can, because... Once again, I'll come back to my own situation here. I had a couple of really bad years after Judy parted and transitioned into afterlife. We kept in touch for a while. She helped me with my first two books and everything like that. Then, I don't know whether she influenced this or what, but then I met my current partner, Anne Morgenoff, whom I wrote The Joy of Living with. And Anne and I really have a very strong soul connection. So I know that it was in my destined path, shall we say, to have the short reconnection with Judy, but then at that this later stage in my life, to have Anne come into my life. And Anne is one we met at the Mind Body Spirit Festival. We were both doing readings there at the time, long 20 years ago. And we just talked the same language. She does numerology, I do astrology. We both sort of work with people, help people, do whatever we can. And that is another, I won't say twin souls once again, I start getting away from all of this, but we certainly have a very strong soul connection. And it was the joy of having that meeting and that part of my life that is now, I hope, going to be there for the rest of this lifetime. That is the joy, yes, so they can. But whether they can experience, whether you can experience them both at the same time, I'm not sure about that one.
Right. I find that there are times when I can experience both, because like Stephen Jenkinson, the walk, that beautiful death walker that talks about dying as it's happening, he says that if death remains a low hum beneath the surface of your everyday life, then life becomes so sparkling and exciting and creative. And I feel the same with joy, that even in the times when I deeply miss my husband that's gone, there is an underlying hum of joy in simply being alive that I have never lost.
Yeah. But did you experience that joy at the beginning, or did you have to sort of grow into it?
I grew into it, but it didn't take long. And that's the thing. I think my belief system and yours may be the stepping stone to being able to move forward, perhaps more quickly than many others. I mean, I think of Queen Victoria, whose entire identity became grief for all those years, even though she had other experiences, but never allowed them to be public or to take away her grief. And there are so many people that are now, their identity is that they are in grief.
Yeah, well, there's an expression, isn't there, wallowing in grief. So whether or not they like to sort of get the attention, or whether or not they need it, or it's self-confidence or whatever, I don't know. But I don't think we can generalize in this. As I said before,
Definitely not.
Experience is unique.
Every experience is unique. Yeah. Every experience is unique. So if you look back at your life, Barry, is there any part of your losses, that you would wish had not happened or not?
Look, funny you should mention that. I'm putting the finishing touches to my memoirs at the moment. I've been convinced to write my memoirs. And looking back on life, it's very, very interesting. All the memories that come flooding back and the things you forget and everything like that. And the one thing I have discovered is that je ne regrette rien.
Yes,
as Edith Piaf said, I don't. What's the point in having regrets? The past is the past. You can't change it. You can learn from it, grow from it, benefit from it, but you can't change it.
Absolutely. I love that. Barry, thank you so much for this. It was just a wonderful conversation. Had a rocky beginning out of public view, but it was a really beautiful
Well, that's the whole thing with the business, you know, because I studied as an actor to start off with, and there's a lot goes on off stage, behind the scenes. Nobody ever gets to see it. You only see the finished product.
That's right. Thank goodness. Anyway, thank you. Is there anything else that you would like to say or add before we complete today?
Not really, except that I think a positive attitude is always the thing that will get us through in the long run. It's like the times we're going through at the moment, where people are wallowing in fear and panic and all sorts of things. We've got to move beyond that and start to look at emerging. If you're drowning, you don't just sort of lie in the water and wait to drown. You're trying to find a way out, to swim out of the way or whatever. And as I said, I've just started a new radio program, actually, called Barry Eaton Showtime, and it's to be able to help people. I'm playing show music, you know, beautiful entertainment songs from musical comedies and films and everything like that. I used to do it on the ABC many, many years ago. It was very popular. So I'm thinking now, that positive thing. So if people have this sense of loss or grief, once again, we're talking about here, the grief for life as it used to be, I wanted to go back to normal. What's normal? So yeah, don't do something like that. Listen to Showtime instead. Enjoy yourself.
Fantastic. That's great. Great plug, and I think everybody should be doing that, listening to Showtime.
Good on you.
Thank you so much, Barry. I wish you only the best.
Thank you. And okay, you good to talk care. To you too, Sharon. So, you're doing some great work there. This is a very, very good subject to really work on.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah. And thank you for all your help at the beginning and your patience.
My pleasure.
Okay, you take care. I'll speak to you again. Bye for now.